Welcome to the College Admissions Process Podcast presented by Prep Expert. Prep Expert offers live online SAT and ACT courses with the best score guarantees, instructors, and curriculum. Go to prepexpert.com to guarantee your child's success. Welcome to the CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. I am your host, John Durante, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you today Anthony Pelliccia, Associate Director of Admissions and Athletic Department Recruitment Coordinator at Siena College. Anthony, thank you so much for being here today. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me. You know, I'm excited. This is going to be a blast. I'm doing well, you know, enjoying summer in higher ed. It's the time that we get to take our foot off the gas a little bit, which is nice.
That is awesome, and it is an honor and pleasure to have you, Anthony. So let's start by asking, what is it about Siena College that makes it so appealing for so many students to want to apply and ultimately attend?
Yeah, so Siena, I think, is a really great place for a lot of reasons, right? I think it's a perfect, like, jack-of-all-trades kind of school, right? So if students are looking for, like myself, I was looking initially for big school. I wanted, you know, big state school, Division I sports, school spirit, rah-rah. That's what I was looking for. And I realized pretty quickly that the classroom space wasn't going to be the right spot. So I found that smaller to mid-range size. And Siena is a perfect blend of that, right? We have about 3,500 students. So you have that small classroom space where you're going to get to know everybody around you. You're going to feel comfortable with your classmates and your professors. But at the same time, we do have that Division I atmosphere. So you do have the school spirit and that rah-rah, and you have the best of both worlds. So like that's super kind of like, you know, unique, I'd say. But ultimately, you can ask anybody who's affiliated with Siena in any way. They'll all tell you the same thing. If you want to go to a school that cares about you, if you want to go to a school filled with good people, Siena is a place for you. Our community, I think, is really special and really unique. And it kind of really helps people feel like they're a part of the Siena family even before they're officially part of it.
Well, it's definitely a community of care and of good people. Anthony, I want to share that I read a statistic. 90% of your freshman class returned. That's your retention rate, which is an astonishing number, a testament of the great work that you do in admissions to get the right people on campus. But it's also a testament to the great work that Siena College does to keep the students happy and wanting to come back once they're there. So what's the secret sauce, Anthony? What's the secret in terms of keeping students happy and having such a great retention rate?
Yeah, I think we have a really special team across campus, right? It takes a village to do this. It's not just one person or one individual across the campus. It's the campus buy-in from the students knowing what they're signing up for and looking, you know, getting excited for what they're buying into. Our professors, again, are just people who genuinely care. They really want to see our students succeed. We have a lot of resources and programs built for student success. All of our majors are customizable, so it's not like, you know, it's not like if you're coming for accounting, you have to take these 12 classes. Like, nope. If you're at Siena and you want to do accounting, well, you can take that class, or you can focus on international accounting, or you can focus on this or that, the other thing. So it's really flexible to kind of fit every student where they are and what they are looking to do. And the resources are great, right? I mean, our career center is incredible. Our student life and student support services are great. Our Office of Accessibility, like, everyone you can tell is really, really, really just invested in the Siena community. We joke that Siena is kind of like a cult, like in a good way, but once you're a part of Siena, like you just love feeding into it. Our alumni network is super engaged. Like, it's a really just a special place. I know it's the easy answer, but the campus buy-in and the constant support for the community is really kind of what makes us keep going and getting better and growing.
So it's a community that's very flexible and you meet the students where they are, which I love. So yep. Anthony, let's dig a little bit into the application review process itself. Yep. Walk us through the process of how you evaluate so many applications. For example, Anthony, are there teams of people representing different regions? If so, how many applications is each group responsible for? People always ask about the evaluation process. They want to know what happens once they submit their application. So take your time. Any insight that you could give us would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah. So the way that we do things here at Siena is our admissions team is all one big team, but we do all kind of silo in different regions and categories. So right, myself, I'm from Hicksville. I'm a Long Island boy. I came to Siena. So I take care of our Long Island families. I'm Long Island all the time. So I read about, you know, close to maybe 850, 900 applications from Long Island alone each year. Wow. So that's my territory. And then we have other individuals that are coming from or are they taking care of the Capital Region? Some that do Jersey, Maryland, the DMV area. We have another individual that takes care of all the Western New York, one that does all of New England. So we kind of are separated by, you know, individuals with general regions. But then we also offer some specialty programs. Like we have a really great 8-year medical program with Albany Medical College. So I also oversee that. So I'm in charge of that admissions process where I read another 400 or so applications. We have another individual in our office, Megan, that oversees our honors programs and pre-law programs. So, you know, she's in charge of our 4+3 law programs and our 3+2 law programs. Mariah oversees honors, so she reviews those programs. So we all kind of have our general geographical regions, but then we all also have additional programs that we review and read. So typically, you know, I'm reading in our heavy reading season, I'm reading, you know, I don't know, maybe 40 applications a day. Cause I, you know, we got to get through them pretty quickly, and we like to get our application decisions done quickly. But at the same time, you know, although I'm responsible for Long Island, if I'm backlogged and overwhelmed, like the rest of the team does jump in and help us out, which is really nice. That sense of camaraderie and support across our admissions team is really nice, because ultimately we're customer service, right? We're here to make sure that our families and our students and prospective students and families get the service that they need. We know the college process is exhausting, so we do what we can to get applications read in a pretty good amount of time and make sure we're doing our due diligence and doing our homework on the students to make sure if they, you know, if they're a right fit for Siena, we put them in a position to join the Siena community. But that's kind of the way that we do it. In total, we read probably close to 9,000 applications a year, which, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, in some colleges out there, it's nothing. But for Siena, when we have 3,500 students, we have a pretty good chunk of change to get through in a few months. You know, our applications, we start reading applications in September and we read up through March. So it's constant reading for a while.
Well, proportionately, that's definitely a lot of applications. And it's nice to know that you're part of a solid team that looks to bring the right students to your wonderful community. So we appreciate that. So, Anthony, when reviewing applications from various high schools, how do you take into account when one student's school, for example, may offer close to 20 advanced placement exams, while someone else's might only offer 5? How does that look in your overall application process?
Yeah, and that's something we see a lot, right? Because we do read applications from across the country, right? Primarily a lot of our Northeast and Eastern Coast students, but we have national applications, and the changes in curriculum offerings over the last few years after COVID impacted a lot. So a lot changes. And the way that we do what we can is we really are just looking for students who taking advantage of what's available. Right. I mean, some students in some schools, they do have 30 AP courses and they're taking 8 of them in their time in high school. That's fantastic, right? That's incredible. That's great. As long as the students are finding success in those challenging curriculum, like that's the goal, right? And on the other side, students who don't offer even honors level courses, right? Maybe they're only regions level or base, like maybe enter, like, you know, the, whatever their, the normal course offerings are. So what we do is when we get an application, we get the high school profile as well. And we see what courses are offered. We see what they're taking advantage of and what they're not taking advantage of. So we really try to do our homework again to really make sure that we're looking into every detail and see if the students are taking advantage of what they can. We don't really get too caught up on, oh my goodness, well, this student took 5 and this student took none. Well, that student might have also had one or no offerings, or maybe they had to get 2 part-time jobs to help support their family. Like there's a lot of student stories going on, right? There's a lot of other things that impact the student and their curriculum opportunities. So we really try to do our due diligence and dive as deep into an application as we can until we make a decision. But ultimately we want to see students challenging themselves, right? Like we do have a challenging curriculum here at Siena. We're a very strong academic school. We want to make sure the students who do come here are prepared appropriately. And you know, there's been times where we see students who are missing maybe a history course or missing a math class. Okay. So we have that conversation with students. Hey, you know, we would love for you to join Siena in our biology program, but you're missing that last math class, or the math courses are a little bit lower. Like, would you be considering coming to Siena as an undecided student, maybe getting your foot in the door, adjusting to Siena curriculum, and then changing into the bio program? Or, hey, you're missing Algebra 2 trig and we need that. Would you consider taking that at maybe Nassau Suffolk Community College in the summertime before fall semester starts? Take that. All right, cool. Now in the fall, you're ready to rock and roll and go. So we really kind of just work with students and, again, meet them where they are. And we kind of just see what you're taking advantage of and what you aren't, because we know every student's different. Every student struggles. Every student has, you know, their story. So we just try to, you know, dive into it and really not compare from different high schools, right? You know, student A and student B are student A and student B. It's not student A versus student B, right? Like we have that ability where we're, you know, pretty fortunate. We can admit a good chunk of our students. We want to, you know, bring in as many students as we can that fit that Siena core value and the community, right?
Absolutely. And I appreciate the insight in terms of how you work with different students. Like you said, maybe they're missing Algebra 2, maybe they're missing pre-calc or calc, depending on what program they want to major in. And it's great that you would reach out and ask them to consider different options. That's fantastic. And again, a testament to the Siena family feel that you guys foster. I also appreciate that you mentioned the high school profile, which has come up a lot in the podcast episodes. I think it is important for students and their parents to recognize that every high school gives admissions reps their high school profile. And as a parent myself, it's important to know what your school offers. So go on the website, look for the high school profile. And of course, if it's not on the website, you could always call your guidance office to see what it is that gets sent to colleges in terms of just giving an overview of what your high school offers. Visiting campus before committing to a school is so important for the student to get a true feeling of the campus and the surrounding area. So when a student comes to your campus, Anthony, what are the areas that they absolutely should visit? And what are some of the questions that they should be asking to help them determine whether or not Siena College is the right fit for them?
Yeah, we're very fortunate where we offer a lot of student spaces, right? I mean, Siena, we're not a terribly large school, again, both population, but also size-wise. We're not, it doesn't take us a half hour to get across campus. You don't need to shuttle around, right? we're pretty fortunate where we're a pretty small school where from one end of the campus to the other is maybe a 12, maybe 15 minute walk, if that, right? And that's on a snowy day when you're shuffling your feet and you're not trying to go too fast. So we're pretty nice and centralized and local. So our tours are pretty impactful because you see just about everything you really want to see and should see and need to see, right? So some of the big hotspots that we always want to show our students, though, are our student spaces, right? When you go to a college, you're going to be there for most cases, right? Commuting students, different situations. And some schools are just built a little bit differently. For the most part, in a school like Siena, you want to go somewhere that you feel at home, right? Wherever you are. Right. So you want to make sure you Absolutely. Find, okay, well, is the dining hall a comfortable space? Okay, cool. It seemed like a pretty normal space. Well, is the library, can I see myself in those shoes, right? So really trying to put the students in a place where they can feel comfortable across campus is really good. And we highlight those student spaces. We're also pretty fortunate because our campus is not terribly large. We offer golf cart tours. So we put students on some golf carts and like, hey, we're going to go see our upperclassmen housing. We're going to go see our underclassmen housing. We're going to show you the dining hall. We're going to show you the gym, the athletic facilities, our student centers. Like we're going to really kind of be able to show you everything because again, we're not terribly large, right? We have that ability where if you're here for a 45 minute tour, you're going to really be able to hit those hotspots. But some of the big things that students always want to make sure they see when they're visiting schools, you definitely want to see a dining hall. Definitely. And if you can, have the ability to taste the food, if you're there during a weekday or during when school's in session, try to eat some of the food because that's a big thing, right? And I mean, our food is great. Again, classic Long Island boy, leaving mom's cooking. I was terrified about going to college and figuring out what to eat. And I put on those freshman 15. I don't think I ever left them or lost them. So the food up here is pretty good, which is awesome. And then also, again, you want to go find places that you can feel comfortable at. College is very stressful when you're in it, regardless of the school you attend. It's hard work and stressful. It's hard leaving home. It's hard being in a new environment. It's hard being, you know, taking challenging curriculum. You want to find places at campus that you can see, oh, I see kids smiling, having fun. I could see they're decompressing right now. I could see them just hanging out with their friends. Oh, is there a big central quad that everyone lays out on towels in the nice weather? Is there a place to, you know, shoot hoops if you're into that? If there's a place, you know, I don't know, if you're into yoga, right? Like whatever it is, find your thing that you're looking for and just see if you can find a space on the campus that, oh, I see that's a place for me to do that. Or that's a space there where I could see myself there, right? Like again, the athletics world was really important for me. Oh, it was cool. Like, oh, the baseball field's in the middle of campus. I could watch baseball while I'm doing homework. Like, that's awesome, right? Oh, there's four basketball courts to go shoot hoops on. All right, cool. Like that was a big thing for me. And then also, you know, we're a Franciscan institution, right? So the Catholic faith part of it was a big thing for me too. I went to, you know, Catholic high school and I wanted to go to a school that had that element to it. Oh, there's a chapel on campus. There's a friar presence, right? So just kind of try to find the things that you're looking for to make it feel like comfortable for you. And most colleges are going to showcase those during their visits. I know that we do. We showcase everything I just mentioned during our tours. But really just kind of doing, you know, what you can to put yourself in a student's shoes. I also think it's important to try to take advantage of multiple visit opportunities if possible. Our visits change a little bit based on the time of the year, based on where students are in the college process, right? If you're coming as a junior, rising senior in high school, taking a summer visit and a tour of campus in the summer, it's going to look a lot different to you than when you're a senior in, you know, January, and it's a little bit colder and there's snow on the ground. Like, it's two vastly different experiences. So if you're in a position where you can visit a school more than once, I highly recommend doing so. I think it'll drastically impact your view of the school, hopefully for the better, right? But then also with the growing, you know, ability of virtual visits and virtual opportunities, I think those are super helpful. The world is smaller than we ever kind of felt, I think. I had a virtual tour last night at 7 p.m. Where I gave a 10-minute presentation, and then it was about a 30, 35-minute virtual tour, maybe 45-minute tour with some of our current students, and there was a student from Brazil on it. Very rare. Like, that's a Thursday evening, right? That wouldn't have happened 5 years ago. It's something that kind of was forced to change after the last couple of years. So I think that your ability to get in touch with students in a different way is super unique. And the virtual visit opportunities are great, but I don't think anything can replace an on-campus individual visit. I think that if you're in a position to do so, I definitely, definitely, definitely think that that'll help isolate or hammer in that, you know, that your final decision.
Visiting campus in person, if you can, is absolutely something that can't easily be replicated. But the pandemic has taught us that, yes, there's a lot you could do with technology. For example, all of the virtual tours that you mentioned, but also something like this podcast, which would have never been born without the pandemic. So take advantage, students and parents, of all those opportunities, again, on campus and even virtually. So Anthony, getting back to the application, what is the average profile of the current freshman class in terms of course of GPA and any other related data that you collect, such as SAT or ECT scores? And if a student falls lower than your mid-50, what are some of the things that they can do to enhance their overall application?
Yeah, and I think this is a part of the application process where us at Siena and similar schools, a lot of the smaller schools, have an advantage where we really, again, we dive deep into applicants and we try to get to understand who they are. And one of the best pieces of advice that I was told, and we'll talk about it again more afterwards, but when I was looking at colleges, was that when you go to a college, they get the whole you, right? So when we're looking at an application, we really try to dive into understanding the whole you, understanding your academics, your extracurriculars, and again, what's going on in the rest of your personal life, because a lot of that impacts your success in other areas of your life. But the average student that we're looking at Siena, you know, we're looking for strong B plus and better type students. So 87, 88 GPAs and above. Over 50% of this incoming class has at least a 90 GPA. So pretty strong academics, right? And we're test optional, right? So we've been test optional for, I think it's like 8 years now. So even before COVID, like just after I applied to Siena, we changed to being test optional. And I think it's really kind of benefiting a lot of students because we've seen a lot. Standardized testing doesn't do as good of a job as we thought it did at projecting student success. High school curriculum, high school GPAs, that gives you a much more true, you know, indicator of student success than a 4-hour exam, right? So we're really kind of honing on more so your GPA and your curriculum that you're taking, as opposed to standardized testing, because we just don't think it holds the same weight. Now, with that being said, you know, the vast majority of our students do not submit test scores, but those who do, our average is like 1150 SAT and a 25, 26 ACT. So they're, you know, right in that general middle range. I wouldn't say that numbers might be a little skewed though, because typically students who are scoring higher are the ones sending those scores in, right?
Right.
Being that we're test optional, they have that ability, like, oh, if I didn't hit 1150, all right, well, then I'm not going to bother. Oh, I hit a 1420. Well, then there's no hurt. Okay. Well, that's probably going to pull things up a little bit. So we might be a little closer to 1200 now, just because of that. And then going back to that medical program, like, we do require test scores for that program. So that might boost those numbers a little bit too, because the minimum SAT required for that medical program is a 1360.
Right.
Okay. So like that's where those numbers might be growing a little bit too. But really we're looking just for, you know, well-rounded B plus 87, 88 GPA students and above, with strong curriculum. So you're right. We're going back to the APs. We're not looking for 18 AP credits. Like, no, if you've just taken some credit, don't fall off. Don't not take a 4-year of science or math, especially if you're interested in a major degree program in science and math. You want to make sure you kind of do that. But really just making sure that, you know, academically you're, you know, at that ground. And what we will do, and when I'm looking at an application, if there's a student that's a little bit lower than we would typically like to see, there's a student with an 82, 83 GPA, again, I'll probably reach out to that student prior to making a decision and saying, hey, I noticed your first 2 years in high school were awesome. You had 93 everything. And then I see junior year, things drop back down, maybe like a little low 80s. Okay, what's going on? Did something happen? If their essay doesn't give us any insight, if a recommendation letter doesn't really tell us, I usually reach out and say, hey, like, would you be interested in setting up a Zoom call or a phone call? Or if you're coming to campus, you want to spend some time just chatting and trying to understand, maybe something happened at home. Maybe there was a loss of a love, like, you know, a family member. Maybe they moved and there was like a huge just kind of change, right? So maybe something happened that impacted those grades. Okay, well, now we know maybe we're going to look into getting your first semester senior year grades and just making sure that those grades are back trending up in the right direction before we make that admissions decision. Because ultimately, you know, we're not here to be the big bad guys. We're here to make sure that students who do attend Siena are fit to find success. And, you know, academically, again, we're a challenging school that we want to make sure, oh, well, if you're struggling in, you know, English all 4 years, well, maybe you shouldn't come to Siena to be an English major. Maybe we find a different path for you. So really just kind of, if students are a little bit lower than what we typically like to see, we really kind of try to put them in a place to get them where they need to be to get here, as opposed to just a, you know, a general yes or no, right? And again, that kind of comes to the benefit of a school like Siena, where, you know, of the 800 or so applicants I reviewed this year, I probably met either on the phone or on a Zoom call, probably close to 200 of them. Maybe more than that, throughout the last, you know, 2 years of the college process for these students. So it's been a really kind of going back and forth. We really try to keep the students engaged and up to date because we do things. We want to put them in a position to find success.
Well, that's a terrific answer. And I really appreciate the fact how you talked about the mid 50% is skewed because, yeah, like you said, only students that are scoring high are submitting. So those numbers are definitely different than they were 5-10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Also, the fact that the test optional movement, students definitely prepare for the exam. If you fall within the mid 50 or higher, submit. If not, don't submit. That's the beauty of the college process now. You have that choice. As Anthony said, and many others before him, the test optional movement is in fact real. However, he also mentioned that for specific programs, for example, the medical program, even though the institution, right, in this case, Siena College, might be test optional, check and see if you're applying to a competitive major, whether or not you need to submit scores for the major. Is that correct, Anthony?
Yes, 100%, because a lot of colleges are like that, especially in, it's typically in the programs surrounding the math and science world. So some nursing programs, a lot of medical college programs, some engineering programs, things of those sorts, typically like to see test scores still. So definitely, if you're looking into a program like that, again, do your homework, right? Know if you have to take a test for it. Some even are still requiring like SAT-2 subject tests. So you just want to make sure that if you are looking into a career or, you know, a degree program in one of those, that you're just prepared appropriately. The worst thing in the world is 2 weeks before an application deadline, you have one of those moments where like, oh my goodness, I didn't take that exam, or, oh, I missed that. Like, you want to make sure you kind of get it early. So you're prepared when that application kind of deadline does come around. So you're able to get where you want to go and, you know, achieve those dreams and get that dream school.
Well, we really appreciate that, Anthony. Thank you so much. And digging a little deeper, what are some of the things that students do to demonstrate their interest in attending Siena? And do you track such things as part of your overall college admissions process?
Yeah. And so I think I'm kind of being redundant now, but it's really kind of important for a school like Siena that we want people who want to be here, right? We really pride ourselves on the kids and students that attend here and the community that we kind of foster here, that we want students who want to be here. So we definitely do like to see that demonstrated interest throughout the college process. You know, whether it be just responding to an email and just saying, hey, I can't come to this open house. Have a great day. Like, okay, cool. Like, at least they're acknowledging us, right? Because we know that they get inundated with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of emails from hundreds of colleges, right? So just them taking the time to acknowledge us is really appreciated. Or if we send an email saying like, you know, how is the college process? Or, hey, like, do you need help with anything, right? Just letting us know either, oh, I'm really struggling right now with X, or nope, I'm feeling pretty good right now. Thank you. Just kind of staying actively engaged with us is really kind of exciting. It's also good for their, you know, back to that student that's on the fence. If I see a student with a little bit lower of a GPA, but I can tell that, you know, they've come to campus twice and they've emailed me once a week, and like, you know, they I don't know, they do everything and they go over above and beyond. And that might be on like, you know, the busy side of it. But I definitely can tell that the student wants to be here. All right, well, then I'm going to definitely work to make sure that they're in a position to be here. Whether it be having a conversation with the rest of the admissions team saying like, what do we need to do to get the student on, you know, on the admission side, or admitted rather, or like, hey, the student wants to go into that nursing program. Okay, well, nursing is not right for them. How do we help them understand that, right? Because they want to be here. Like, they love Siena so truly, genuinely, that they want to be here. Like, okay, let's figure out a plan for them. So it really helps students on that lower side. But overall, again, we want students who want to be here, right? It's nice to be wanted, right? Like, everybody wants to be wanted. Students want to be wanted by colleges. Colleges want to be wanted by students, right? So it's just kind of that nice feeling. Where you want somebody who wants you. So we definitely track it. And again, it could be as simple as an email. It could be as simple as seeing me at a college fair and just coming and saying hi and filling out one of those inquiry cards. Or, you know, picking up a phone call. Hey, Anthony, I think I want to come take a tour of campus. When can I do that? All right, cool. Let's get you set up. Or, hey, I'm interested in your physics program. Can you tell me a little bit of information about it? And understanding, a lot of students are in school during the school day. So it's usually parents calling on the behalf of their student. That's totally cool too, because we know that, right? But just kind of putting themselves out there a little bit and trying to be a little proactive and reaching out to us. And again, it could be as big or as little as they want it to be. It could be an email, it could be a phone call, it could be physically coming to campus. It could be doing one of those virtual things. But I think colleges are accessible now more than ever, that I think students have a lot of ways to get engaged with colleges. And I don't always think that they realize it. But schools and Siena for sure, we do like to see students staying actively engaged with us. And again, as big or as little as they can make it. But we want to see you guys. We want to be, we want that relationship, right? A lot of the times students don't know a lot about the college, or they only know a little bit about what they think. But then they don't know who to talk to. Well, us being the admissions people, we're your front facing people. So again, those, you know, those 200 families, 250 families that I actively stayed engaged with this past year, which are great. They got to know me really well. And then it comes, you know, what's really nice about being that resource too, is when they get here, they feel like they know somebody,
right?
Especially for students going away from home. Like, you know, again, Long Island, we're only 3 hours away from Siena and Albany, but for some students, that's a big change, right? Like my family, like me coming 3 hours away, out of my sisters, I went the furthest away until my little sister attended Siena this past year too. Like that 3 hours away was like, oh my goodness. What if I need to go get my laundry done? I don't know what to do, right? Or if I need to go get food, like, what do I do? Okay. Oh, hey, we're going to call Anthony at admissions. He's going to know. It gives parents that comfort knowing, okay, now we have a resource there that we really got to know. And now we really feel valuable and feel, you know, just reliable. I think goes a long way too. It's that comfort on the family side, knowing that they're going to a place where they know somebody, because they've, you know, interacted with us so often and so many times and emails and phone calls, and they feel like I'm a big brother to their student, or they feel like I'm another son to them. Right. So many times when students are interested in Siena and I got to meet them their junior year of high school, and I helped them through the college process and go through everything, and then they attend here. And then, you know, not that long ago, I got invited to somebody's Siena graduation party because of how much I helped them through the process. So like, it really kind of just goes to show you that we want to help you, right? Right. We want students who want to be here. But it kind of just really, you know, the more you show us that you want us, the more we're going to be able to help you.
Well, we appreciate that insight, especially how you're driving home the point to students and parents to reach out. If they have a question, send Anthony or one of his colleagues an email. Admissions reps are there to help you. And by the way, they are happy to do so. So we appreciate that, Anthony, of course. And how important are standardized tests, for example, SAT, ACT scores, in your admissions process? And are there any recent changes or updates regarding your test optional policies?
Yeah, so not too much, fortunately. Once we kind of decided to go test optional a number of years back, we've kind of been locked in on that, which we're fortunate to do. We saw after the first few years, there was not a negative change in our student quality or the academic success or the student success when they attended, right? Going back to that retention rate, like we're getting students that are fitting the bill for what Siena is and what we need. And, you know, our graduation rate's above 75%, which is significantly higher than a lot of national averages out there for public and private schools. So that indicator of that SAT going away wasn't really impacting our student success, right? So we were pretty fortunate from day one, once we decided to go test optional, that we were able to kind of stay on that course. Again, outside of our medical program, our nursing program is another program we don't require test scores for. we like to see them sometimes, especially students who, you know, maybe are, I don't want to say weaker in science and math, but maybe aren't getting 100 in every science and math course. So that's always a nice indicator, but it's not required again. So we are very truly test optional. I mean, as long as a student isn't going for that medical program, I'm not going to ask for their test score. I'm not going to look into it. I'm not even going to wonder if they took it. It's not going to bother me one bit. I'm not going to lose any sleep. But once we do receive a test score, it is part of the application review process, right? So my like insider info kind of thing, I tell every student, don't apply with a test score. I'd rather not see one and get told 3 months later, oh, I did take it and I got X on it, as opposed right. to, hey, this right. is what I got on it, and it's significantly lower than what we'd like to see, right? So
right.
would rather just, I recommend no application test, no applying with test scores if you're interested in Siena, right? Unless you're interested in that medical program, just because I think you'll be in a little bit of a better position. And then, you know, because if we also do get it, then we use that to help review merit scholarships, right? And if not, it's just your GPA. So if your GPA is a little higher than that test score, maybe it'd be smarter not to send it. Or if your test score is a little higher than your GPA says, maybe it would help, right? So, right. But I off the rip, I usually tell students don't apply with a test score. It makes everyone's lives easier. It takes the stress off of them. And it just kind of helps them through the process. But yeah, so from day one, we were pretty fortunate that test optional was kind of what we said and what we've kind of coasted with.
And I appreciate that you talked about in terms of merit-based scholarships, if a test score is there and it's higher than the GPA, certainly submit it because it may help you with merit-based scholarships. However, if you don't submit your test scores, again, because of the test optional nature, the GPA then comes into play for those merit scholarships, right, Anthony?
Exactly that. Which is why I tell students to usually hold off on their test scores initially,
right,
until they get their initial scholarships, and then say, hey, because we have a process at Siena where we can reevaluate merit scholarships, fortunately. Not saying it's always going to change, but we're usually in a spot that we can take another look. But the key is getting new information, right? So maybe getting updated senior grades, or if they didn't apply with the test score, now they provide the test score, right? We just need something new information-wise to see if there's a change. But so it could help you in the long run, but on the front side, relieve yourself of the stress. Just focus on the minimal application because it's exhausting enough. Kind of make it as seamless as possible there.
Can you elaborate on the role of the extracurricular activities and community involvement in the admissions process? Specifically, does what you look for differ based on a student's intended major?
Yeah, so not so much on an intended major, I'd say. But going back to the way I described Siena, we like jack-of-all-trades students, right? Siena is that kind of jack-of-all-trades kind of school. We offer a lot. We have a lot of clubs and activities and leadership experience opportunities on campus. So we like students who have taken advantage of those similar opportunities throughout high school. And again, right, if you're a three-sport athlete, you're probably not going to have time to get a part-time job, or you're not going to be able to be a president of a club, right? You're a pretty busy student, right? Or if, you know, again, maybe you have a single parent and you have to help take care of your sibling. Okay, I get that, right? But for some students who are in a position to take advantage of extracurriculars, we would love to see you doing so and taking advantage of leadership experiences and opportunities. There's a reason we have such a high student success rate. It's because we get student leaders, right? We really push student leadership and pushing the soft skills and those liberal arts skills, critical thinking and public speaking and teamwork and all of those other aspects that you learn while you're at Siena that might not be studying on a pen and paper, like, you know, with pen and paper, but it's just what you get from being part of the environment here. So we want students who are going to take advantage of those extracurriculars and join the leadership roles and things. And the key with that, though, is quality over quantity, right? And the way that I view an applicant, I'd rather see you maybe be a president of a club and do one other thing while you're in high school and see that you're devoting, you know, 15 hours a week to all of that, as opposed to doing 30 things in a matter of 2 years and do everything once.
Right.
That investment, that right. The loyalty, that interest there, it's just, it feels like you're kind of doing it because you need to, not because you genuinely are interested in anything. So that's a big thing for us. But then it also is really nice if I'm reading an application, and let's just say it's a student that I know I've been going back and forth with a few times, and he wants to come in for chemistry. And he's president of the chemistry club. Well, now I'm going to let our current club president know that maybe, you know, John, who's interested in coming to Siena, is already part of that. Like, oh, now I'm going to have John reach out to, you know, the student and say, hey, we heard that you're interested in Siena. We know that you're part of your chemistry club. Like, we would love to have you join us. Or, you know, esports is a growing industry right now. And our esports team is pretty competitive. And we use them all the time. Hey, we have a student who in their application talked about how they were part of their esports team. They love competitive gaming. Well, they might not know that we have that club. But now we have an ability to kind of build that connection and relationship. So then going back to that village experience with Sienna, like we really try to engage the campus community with those prospective students. So when they get here, they're like, oh, all right, well, I already know John and the chemistry club, or I know Anthony and the esports team. And I, you know, it kind of helps them on that transition. So we like students to be involved. One, it helps them develop as a person, but it does helps us in that application process where we're able to connect them a little bit with what we have to offer here. We know that, again, the college process is extremely hard. There's thousands of colleges in the country, right? How do you choose the right one for you? All right, well, maybe you want to go to a school that you absolutely are going to be able to study abroad in. All right, well, because maybe you did a service trip during high school. Oh, we see that on your application. Hey, we have that here. Now I'm going to talk to you about that. Whereas if you left that off the application, I wouldn't be able to help you find that thing you're looking for, right? So it kind of helps us give us some more insight into who we're working with and who we're potentially bringing into campus to make sure that we have what you're looking for. Same thing goes on the other side. You know, if some student tells me all about how they want to, all they care about is going to college to play field hockey. Okay, well, we don't have a field hockey program, right? We might have a club field hockey team, so like that might be the thing. But if that's not what you're looking for, Sienna doesn't have what you're looking for. And you know, okay, well, then I can help you write that off your list and say, okay, well, you know, Sienna is not going to be where I find my future. I am not going to spend extra time and energy on that. And now I'm going to focus on the next three schools, right? Because ultimately my job at Sienna, I'm not trying to sell Sienna to you. I'm trying to help you find if Sienna is the right place for you, right? So by seeing those extracurriculars, we're able to kind of give you a good indicator and a good pathway to find those things.
Well, I like how you talk about building connections. And of course, with extracurricular activities, it's quality over quantity. I appreciate the example. Like you said earlier, if you're a three sport athlete, that's probably the reason why you're not in five or seven clubs and you're not the president of every club because in fact, you're a three sport athlete. So it's just being mindful, students, of making whatever it is that you do outside of the classroom known to the admissions representatives so that they're not there left to speculate what you do, make it very clear to them. This also includes, by the way, if you have a part-time job or if you have to take care of an elderly relative, perhaps a sibling, whatever it is that you do with your spare time, very important that you put it on your activity sheet so that you're not leaving it up to people like Anthony to have to speculate. So we appreciate that, Anthony. And I was also curious, how does Sienna College support students' academic and personal growth during their time on campus, especially if they had, for example, an IEP while they were in high school? And are there any unique programs or initiatives aimed at enhancing the student experience?
Yeah. So the last few years, and again, since COVID, we've been in a position of power, I'd say, where Sienna has kind of been in a place where we're able to make changes across campus to enhance that student experience and that student support services. So a couple of years ago, we built this new department on campus called the Sienna Experience Team. And their sole purpose on campus is to make sure that the Sienna student experience is what it's supposed to be, right? Everyone's getting what they need out of it. They're kind of a one-stop shop office. Parents want to send their student maybe, you know, a birthday cake for their birthday. All right, well, now they're going to go get in touch with the Sienna Experience Team. They're going to give them, hey, you're going to send it to this date, or hey, you're going to mail it to this office, or, you know, they're going to give you some more insight and experience there for the Sienna student experience. Also, it helps, you know, students just during the adjustment period, the first few weeks, first few months at a college, it's usually a lot of struggles for a lot of students. They adjusting to a new place. Maybe they're struggling. Maybe they're homesick. Whatever it is, that Sienna Experience seems a nice little one-stop shop. Okay, hey, like we see what's going on. Well, we're going to be working on this initiative next, or you know, we're going to really help with stress management. We're going to really help with, you know, enhance or helping you connect with other students, right? So their job is really to enhance the student experience, getting students engaged with this, you know, the traditions of Sienna College, right? We're not a terribly old college, right? We're created in 1937, we were founded. But there's a lot of things that are part of Sienna tradition and Sienna history that some students don't always feel connected to right off the bat. So that Sienna Experience Team help them kind of find their way while they're here. So like that's a really great thing that kind of came from the last couple of years and that strategic plan. We expanded our student services and our health and wellness center. And there's a, you know, there's plans for that to continue growing and adding more counselors and counseling center on campus. So we know that the world has changed drastically, right? And Sienna is being really proactive and kind of forthcoming in making the changes that we feel the students need. And it's not only the administration making those changes, which is something that I'm really excited and proud of as a Sienna alum, but also as an employee here, is that we have students helping making every decision that the college is making, right? So they're like a student leadership team that help our administrators and the president of the college. And, you know, hey, we really feel like there's a lack of X on campus. Okay, like, let's build it up, right? So a lot of diversity initiatives the last few years, the growing of the health and wellness focus on campus, that was a lot of it was sparked by students bringing it up to administration. We're like, outside looking in, right, a lot of students don't feel so comfortable sharing everything with administrators of the college, understandably so. All right, for a lot of reasons. So having students on behalf of students advocate, hey, you know, I think we really need to put a stronger emphasis on mental health on campus. Oh, well, from the outside looking in, we might not see that because we don't know the student struggles, right? Whereas the students are able to advocate, hey, you know I'm going through it. I know that I'm not the only one of this campus going through it. Can we help kind of put something in motion? And then, you know, we expanded our counseling center, we expanded the servicing hours, we expanded our student wellness center itself, right? We built a whole new development there. So I think having that the student advocacy opportunity and kind of element to it really enhances that, because who knows what a student needs better than a student, right? Like, they're going to be able to give you that insight. That's something that I'm, you know, again, really proud of as a Siena alum and an employee of the college, because it's exciting and really, you know, empowering to see our students being empowered. So like, that's a really great thing that they're going through. And then our Office of Accessibility works really well with students individually to work with any IEPs or any, you know, any student services that maybe accommodations that students worked with in high school, they want when they come to college. All right, well, we can have that conversation before students arrive to campus. We can have that conversation during your junior or senior year of high school to know, hey, Siena is going to be able to accommodate me. Okay, I'm going to continue looking down this line, or I'm going to continue diving into it. But they do an excellent job at, again, meeting students where they are. That's the one thing I think that families and I hope prospective students take away from this conversation, is that Siena is a place that's really going to meet you where you are. Whether you're the 30th person in your family to come to Siena, or if you found out about Siena yesterday, you're going to feel like you know this place like the back of your hand after 5 days on campus, because so many people are invested in that student support and enhancing your Siena experience while you're there. And then also, as far as like personal growth and professional growth, right? In addition to all those leadership opportunities, we have the student activities for leadership development, which all of our student clubs are kind of driven through. But then every department on campus has, you know, leadership opportunities for internships and research and paid work study jobs and employment opportunities. We're really, hey, you're thinking about a career in admissions? All right, well, come work with us for 2 years. Or you want to work in sports marketing? We'll go do an internship with our Division I athletic department. Maybe you want to be a student academic advisor. All right, we'll go be a peer mentor for 2 years, right? So we give a lot of internal opportunities to students for professional and personal growth. But then our McDonnell Career and Internship Center is an excellent resource of preparing students for life after college, right? We know that college isn't forever, even though there's people like myself who never left college, right? I graduated and I stuck around. It does come to an end, and Siena's fortunate that that typically is a four-year experience as opposed to a 5 or 6 year experience for students. But when students do leave, they're prepared for jobs, right? And I think that's a really important thing that families and prospective students need to kind of look into, is the student success rate, right? We're fortunate. The last 3 years, Siena is the number one college and university in New York for job placement. We're in the top 10 nationally. We're number 9. Our Student Services Center does a great job at mock interviews, resume critiquing, helping you connect with the Siena alumni network, right? We have multiple career fairs and job fairs a year. A lot of those representatives at those career fairs are Siena alum themselves, because they like feeding into that Siena community, right? So we really do a great job of preparing students for life after college while they're here, so they're not thrown to the wolves when they do leave, right? You know, over 90% of students, I think we're up to 93% of students, say that their job allows them to make a positive impact in society. And I think that's really powerful too, because you want to be in a position that you can help better the world, right? Nobody wakes up in the morning and it's like, oh man, I hope today's worse than it was yesterday. Like, no one thinks like that. You always want to put students and help students find their calling and find their, you know, hey, like, I feel really passionately about this. Like, how can I do that? Maybe it's about, like, you know, restorative justice in the criminal justice world. Maybe it's going to law school, so you can help, you know, divorce law, whatever it is, right? Our student services here help students find their passion so that they can go on and impact the world positively and grow professionally and personally while they're here. Like, the student that you come here as day one of Siena, it's going to look much different than when you leave here. I'll tell you that. Personally, when I got here, I was a know-it-all when I got here. I thought I knew the world, or I thought I knew how it all worked. And I realized pretty quickly into college that man, I knew nothing. And so, you know, using your resources and the career and internship center and your academic advisors and just the counseling and wellness centers and all these people on campus that are geared towards student success, it kind of helps you that flip gets switched and you're like, oh my goodness, like there's a whole other side of the adult world that I was not prepared for. And now I'm getting ready for it. So when I did leave, and ultimately, again, I was fortunate I didn't have to leave Siena. I stayed here for my career. But, you know, so many of my friends and recent alumni were very much set up for jobs and you know, careers. And you know, a lot of that had to do with the student services while they were enrolled here.
Well, no wonder why your retention rate is so high. You work so hard at building connections, and you mentioned so many different resources there to support your students and make sure that they're successful for the 4 years on campus and beyond. So, Anthony, just so you know, I always put the Office of Undergraduate Admissions, in this case, obviously, it's Siena College, in the show notes. If there are any other links that you want to share with the students and their parents, just send them to me, and of course, we'll make them available in the show notes. So I was also curious, in terms of resources, what other resources or supports does Siena College offer to help students with financial aid and the overall financial aid process? This is something, obviously, that's very important to many students and their parents. So again, Anthony, any information that you could provide would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, affordability is huge, right? I think that's sometimes a conversation that students and families are afraid to have or embarrassed to have because they don't realize that everyone has that conversation, right? Doesn't matter if you're in the top 1% or the bottom 1%, like affordability is going to be a conversation piece at some point in the college process, wherever you're looking to go. And I think that what we do really well at Siena is having that one-on-one conversation with those families. Whether it be your junior year, your senior year, maybe 2 months before you come to Siena in the fall, our financial aid department does a great job at establishing, again, that relationship with the families, but also just being that soundboard and being that conversation piece. And hey, we know that a lot, like life happens, right? Things that were true yesterday might not be true tomorrow for your family and your financial situation, right? So they do a great job of kind of assisting families through that process. And obviously this upcoming year, the financial aid process and the FAFSA, everything changes, right? And the whole process and the timeline for it all. So one thing that we do here at Siena to really assist in that is we offer a lot of information sessions, right? Whether the families come here for open house, we'll always have a financial aid session on our on-campus big program days. We offer, and we'll talk about this a little more in a moment, but we offer something called college coaching sessions. And those are one-on-one virtual conversations that you have with a member of our team here at admissions, assisting students through the college process. But one of the sessions we have is specifically on financial aid. We will sit down and help you, you know, fill out your FAFSA, or we'll tell you what to include and what not to include. Maybe it's a student who's a dependent, they don't have, you know, a guardian or a parent, that so they're doing it all on their own. Okay, well, we're going to help you get through that process, right? So we do a great opportunity. We take advantage of an opportunity to go to that one-on-one meeting, you know, with our families and that kind of process, because we know affordability is huge. We also do what we can to make it very clear on our financial aid award letters, right? Hey, you're getting this. This is what it's going to cost now. Or you're getting this, that, and the other thing, and this is the final cost. Where, you know, even when I was looking at schools and just being in the higher ed world the last few years, there's some college financial aid letters that feel like you need a training to look at it. It's so confusing. And there's this number and that number. And then there's this fee that applies to this, but not if you're in this program. And it's like, okay, it's a lot, right? So we'll even help students and families kind of look at other award letters and kind of evaluate just so they know what they're getting themselves into. Because we know it's a big investment, right? Like college is not cheap. It's not free.
Absolutely.
Right. So,
absolutely.
So we really do what we can to kind of assist students in that process. And then we also, you know, Siena is really fortunate again, that we're able to put together very strong packages in terms of scholarships and grants and making it affordable for families, where again, if you want to be at Siena, we're going to find a way to help you, you know, help you find that in a number of ways, right? We have our traditional merit scholarships based on high school academics, but then we have a number of additional scholarships and grants. Then we have an additional 330 endowed scholarships and grants.
Wow.
And then we have the financial aid piece, right? The need-based aid. So there are a lot of steps that we, in hoops we go through before we get you that letter and that financial aid process to really, again, do our homework, right? We expect your students to do homework on their end about Siena. We're going to do our homework to kind of help you get where you can go. And if Siena's in the running, we'll gladly work with you to make it possible. But those college coaching sessions, I think, are really great resources because it puts a student in a one-on-one conversation with financial aid as opposed to those big group information sessions.
Well, for sure, those are definitely great resources. We appreciate that, Anthony. And I know that you're the Associate Director of Admissions, but you're also the Athletic Department Recruitment Coordinator. So, Anthony, What advice do you have for prospective student athletes, and how does the application process differ for them?
Yeah, so that's a great question, because I know there's a lot of students who are overly excited about the prospect of going to college and competing in athletics, right? Whether it be Division I, Division II, Division III, right? Whatever it may be, JUCO, like who knows, right? But competing at a high level is a super exciting opportunity for a lot of students. And it is a unique experience because it's going to change depending on what your opportunities are. And what I mean by that is if you're looking at a Division I or Division II school, that's going to change drastically than if you're looking at a Division III school, right? So Siena, we're Division I. We're able to give academic scholarships to all students, right? We have this, what's called the Siena Guarantee, where anybody who applies and gets accepted to Siena gets a minimum of $63,000 in scholarships over 4 years, right? So whether you're a Division I athlete or not, you're going to get those merit scholarships. But then Division I, we're also able to give athletic scholarships, right? So for our highly recruited athletes, we're also able to give them athletic scholarships and help cut down the cost of tuition and have you join the Siena community. Again, and the same goes for Division II schools, whereas Division III, they don't offer those, right, athletic scholarships. So it's really important to know what your avenue is going to be and your opportunities. There's going to be a place for students everywhere, whether it be Division I, II, or III. You're going to be able to find your pathway. But at a school like Siena, my role really is it's kind of be that middle ground and that middle person, right? A lot of students, and I recommend students do it still, is to reach out to coaches directly. All college coaches' information, there's going to be on their athletics websites. You can find their emails. A lot of colleges like Siena, we have a recruitment form on our website. You fill it out. It gives the coaching staff, you know, hi, I'm Anthony. I'm from this high school. I'm going to be a senior in high school. I want to play this sport at your school. Okay, well, now that's going to go to the lacrosse team, right? And now that lacrosse coach is like, okay, well, now I'm going to go see if I can find anything on the recruiting websites of this kid. But if I see that you emailed me twice saying you're really interested in Siena, and I see your name come across in the recruiting list on that recruitment form, oh, well, this kid's really interested. Like, let's go see if he is the caliber we're looking for, or this kid's, you know, really, really dedicated to coming to Siena. Okay, cool. Like, let's see what we can do. So definitely reaching out proactively to the coaching staffs on their own is super important. Every school is going to have that recruitment form, as I mentioned. So finding that recruitment form is a way to kind of get your name in front of the coaches. But then for some schools like, you know, Siena, again, my role is to kind of be that middle ground where students can reach out to me and I can kind of, hey, you know, hey coach, so-and-so, you know, John reached out and he wants to play lacrosse. Like, is that something that you're interested in? And if not, I can let them know, hey, you know, we'd love to have you join Siena. Unfortunately, there's not a spot on the lacrosse program for you, but we would still love you to have joining you, you know, here at Siena. Right. Or, hey, coach, this kid reached out to me. He's also reached out to you twice and he's in your recruitment funnel. Okay, let's get the ball moving on this kid. Like, let's get him through the applications process quickly. Let's get him all of the stuff that he needs to do quickly so that he's ready to go when it's his time to make a decision, right? So that kind of that unique role is there. I'm able to be that soundboard for both coaches and students. Hey, I reached out to so-and-so. Okay, hey, coach, did you see this kid? Oh, he's not in your funnel? Okay, I'm going to talk to him about that now. Or, hey, sit tight. He's still working on some film. He's going to be reaching out soon, whatever it may be, right? But then it's also really important to be still that admissions counselor side of myself, because the coaches are going to do a lot of the recruiting for the athletes, right? For most schools, they all have, you know, their primary recruiter. So let's just say you're interested in, maybe you're recruiting to come play baseball here. Well, the coaching staff's going to talk to you about everything you need to do for the baseball world. Okay, but are they going to be able to tell you what you need academically? Are they going to be able to tell you what you need to be in that major you want? Are they going to be able to tell you what you need to do for the application process, right? Like, you still have to apply. You still have to go through admissions, right?
Right.
So you really have to be able to kind of have that foot in both camps where, oh, hey, I've talked to coach so-and-so and he told me I'm good. Okay, well, I've never gotten an application. Like, I didn't know you existed until just now, right? So you still have to go through the traditional application process. You still have to apply. You still have to get admitted traditionally. So just because you have those conversations with the coaches, and they'll do a pre-read, they're called, where the college coach will tell you, hey, most likely you'll be admitted and you'll most likely receive this scholarship if you were to come to Siena, but that's not a final say, right? Like, it's not an end-all, be-all. It's a very much contingent on a lot of things. It's on the contingency of you finishing your high school degree. It's on the contingency of you completing the curriculum you said you were starting, right? So there's some contingencies where just because the coach says you might be good doesn't guarantee you're going to be good. So you still want to make sure you build those relationships with your admissions counselors and kind of work through the process. Because I had a phone call this morning with a student that was like, hey, you know, I'm supposed to come here in the fall. you know, I'm not going to disclose anything, right? But the coach was like, the coach said he's all set, but I can't register for class. I'm like, well, because you never applied to the college. Like, you have to go through the process, right? Okay, so now we're working on a time crunch now to get you here. You don't want to just assume that you're good just because the coach said so. You still want to make sure you do the college application process because it is stressful and it's exhausting, and you want to make sure you do it ahead of time and all that good stuff. But that's where that relationship and that outreach to the admissions counselor comes to play. And usually the coaches are great at connecting you with that admissions counselor, saying, hey, John, we want you to come play basketball here. Here's Anthony. He's going to help you go through admissions. Or, hey, we want you to come play water polo. Okay, you've already applied. All right, cool. I'm going to let them know that you're going to become one of my scholarship players. Okay, cool. So if the students are doing their homework on the admission side, it makes the process a lot smoother. And hopefully I didn't ramble too much on that one.
No, but it's very important because you made it very clear. Obviously, reach out to the coaches. You know, there's different websites with the film, which is a whole separate conversation. And of course, we have to follow the NCAA rules, which, you know, you could find on websites, students and parents. But if you are interested in playing at Siena, in addition to reaching out to the coach, obviously Anthony, as the athletic department recruitment coordinator, is someone that you also want to reach out to. So again, Anthony, we appreciate that insight. This has been a phenomenal conversation. Siena College is so lucky to have you on their team, as were we throughout this conversation today. So it leads me to my last question, Anthony, which is, what are your top three pieces of advice that you would provide students and their parents getting ready for the college admissions process?
Only three. Oh, man. Now, the big three are kind of be probably things that a lot of families and students have heard from multiple different people. It might have been previous podcast episodes. It might be guidance counselors. It could have been other college reps, right? The biggest thing is, you know, really utilizing your resources. Everything is at your disposal right now, right? Your phone back of your pocket all the time. Utilize your admissions counselors, utilize your family, your friends, your guidance counselors, your teachers, right? Maybe if you know your principal, like, go talk to the principal, right? Whatever it is, really just utilize those resources, because anybody who's part of an education world, whether it be, you know, elementary school, high school, college, right? We're all doing it because we want to help students succeed, right? And they're going to do what they can to put you in a position to find success. So maybe, you know, your dream might be to go to Yale in their, I don't know, engineering. I don't even know if Yale has engineering, right? But like, maybe it's like something that, and maybe you're just not up to that level where you don't want to disappoint yourself, but okay, now I'm going to talk to those resources. Hey, now I know I can't go to Yale, but oh my goodness, there's this, Siena's got a fantastic program, or BU's got a great program that's going to do exactly what it needs to do, but I never would have found it because in my head, I was going to Yale the whole time, right? And like, I mean, that's what I did. Right. In my head, I thought I was going to Seton Hall for a long time. And then I visited Siena because my parents encouraged me to. And then by the end of the day, I'm like, wow, like, I'm so glad. I'm like, this is perfect. I mean, this is everything I ever wanted it to be, right? So fortunately, you know, my parents were right, which is, I guess, the fourth unwritten advice is parents are always right. So really utilizing your resources, because they really do have your best interest at heart, right? They want to help you find where you want to go. And it's sometimes tough love, right? I mean, I hate saying that, but sometimes it's that realization where if you couldn't pass geometry, maybe getting a degree in math might not be the option, right? Sometimes it's that tough love conversation where it's going to be hard right in the moment, but in the long run, you're going to understand why they did what they did or why they said what they said. So definitely utilizing a resource is going to be a big one. Number two is just, I guess it's kind of similar, but just don't be afraid to ask questions. There's no such thing as a bad question. No such thing as too many questions. No dumb, like, they're really, 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 questions are here to help you. You're asking the questions because it's something you don't know. Right. It's not something that you're assumed to know. Right. It's not something that you have to know. It's just something that you want to know more about, whether it be more about a program, maybe about an application deadline. And maybe it might be about, I don't know, just the next steps in a process. Right. But just asking questions. I'm never going to get mad if you email me a question. If you give me a phone call, I might not answer it right away because I'm answering another phone call. Right. But I'm never going to get mad by people reaching out to me, asking me for, you know, asking questions or asking for help through a process or asking me, you know, and we offer something called college coaching sessions, which as I mentioned, right? And those are, we will talk to you about the college process for every college, right? So like, I helped a kid write an essay for Howard last year. I have no idea why I'm writing an essay for Howard University, but like, I was helping them because they asked me to do so, right? So I have people asking me, hey, can you help me write an essay for Bryant? Or, hey, I have an interview at Seton Hall. Can you help me do a mock interview? Like, yeah, of course. Like, let's do this. Like, I'm not here to sell you on Siena. I'm here to help you find if Siena is right for you. Right. So just asking questions, doing that kind of thing. And the third one I think is really important, that I think it's overlooked a lot through the college process. But it's really just doing your homework. I can't stress this enough, doing your homework on the college, the people that you're talking to at the college, the name of the college. I can't tell you how many essays I read a year that are saying, hey, I can't wait to attend X college. I can't wait to go to Providence. Or I can't wait to go to Marist. I can't wait to go to Campbell University. I'm like, I am so happy for you. That is a great plan. This is Siena, man. Like, come on. So really just kind of doing your homework, doing your due diligence, making sure that when you do submit that college application, it's for the right school, directed to the right person with the right formatting, the right name, doing your homework, doing it, you know, getting your application done ahead of time. We see this a lot too, where, you know, our early action deadline is early, right? It's October 15th, which is really early for early action. But we do that to help kickstart a lot of college applications. We know students are going to wait to the last minute. So by doing it, having an application due in the middle of October, oh my goodness, middle of September, students are going to start working on it as opposed to waiting until November, who knows when, right? So being aware of those application deadlines, the application needs, different schools, different programs, we all require different things. College process, we want to make it easy, but I don't know if anyone really wants to, because it's definitely not, because everything is a little unique and every school is different. So just doing your homework. I know it's a long-winded answer, but at the core, do your homework.
Well, you made the college process easier by explaining in detail so many things about Siena in terms of what you offer on your campus and beyond, but also by explaining your overall application process. As I said earlier, Anthony, Siena College is so lucky to have you. You are awesome. I'm so happy, as I know that this conversation is going to help so many students and their parents as they navigate through the college admissions process. I do hope to have you again. Thank you so much, Anthony.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. And if you guys don't mind, I will leave my email if people want to kind of reach out. It's a wordy one. So it's my first initial last name. It's apolichia@siena.edu, which we'll spell as well. It's A as in apple, P as in Peter, E-L-L-I-C-C-I-A at siena.edu. And again, any questions about Siena, any other colleges out there, just let me know. This has been fantastic. Again, thank you so much. I'm pumped to be a part of this podcast, and hopefully can connect again soon.
It's our honor and pleasure, and I would absolutely love to connect soon. And by the way, I will put the email in the show notes as well, because it's a long last name like mine. So Anthony, thank you so much. Hope to have you again. Good luck to everyone on your college search. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Take care, guys.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of The CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please don't forget to tell a friend and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. I am your host, John Durante, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of The CAP. Thank you for listening to the College Admissions Process Podcast presented by Prep Expert. Prep Expert offers live online SAT and ACT courses with the best score guarantees, instructors, and curriculum. Go to prepexpert.com to guarantee your child's success.